The Gospel according to Luke chapter 23. Luke chapter 23, we embarked on this little study on last Sunday morning, and we gave you one thought, one point, and if the Lord will help us, we'll do the same this morning, trying to magnify some truths around the cross. And we'll preach to you again this morning on the thought, why Christ died. Why Christ died. Why was His death essential? Say, preacher, we've heard so much preaching on the cross. If you've been saved a while and been in any kind of church, you hear a lot of preaching on the cross. And yet that story, amen, never gets old. I've been saved near 25 years. And to be honest with you, singing and preaching and testifying that centers itself around the cross is more exciting to my heart. It thrills me more today than it did even when I got saved. And you say, explain all that. All I can tell you is the longer I walk with the Lord, amen, the more cherished the old rugged cross is in my life. And I thank God for it. I am what I am by the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul said, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. I have no glory in and of myself. And by the way, you don't either. There's nothing good about any of this. Amen. If you take the cross and its ministry and the death of the Lord Jesus out of our life, all we are is a bunch of zeros and a bunch of sinners that are damned and condemned to the judgment of God in hell forever. And yet today I stand before you, child of the King. Amen. You say, explain that. All I can do is point to a hill called Calvary and say, there Christ died for me. And 25 years ago, I accepted that. Amen. I accepted that. I believed on that. I trusted in that. And that turned me from my sin to the Lord God of glory. And that's why I am what I am tonight. It wasn't baptism. I didn't work myself into the family of God. I didn't do better. I didn't figure things out. Amen. I put my faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I thank God for His cross today. Let's stand together. We want to read these sacred verses and give attention to the reading of God's Word and then give you some thoughts this morning. It's good to see Sister Lori be able to be back in the house of the Lord today. And that thrilled my heart. See her there just a little while ago. Continue to pray for her and all her health and physical issues. Pray God to touch her. All right? Amen. Verse number 33. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified Him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. They parted His raiment and cast lots, and the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them derided Him, saying, He saved others, let Him save Himself, if He be Christ, the chosen of God. And the soldiers also mocked Him, coming to Him and offering Him vinegar, and saying, If thou be the King of the Jews, save thyself. The superscription also was written over Him in letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew. This is the King of the Jews. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on Him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked Him, saying, Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? We indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And can I say here this morning, just reading that, some get hung up on when they got saved, when they made their... And I know just simply saying a prayer doesn't save anybody, but Paul worded it this way in Romans 10, that with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And some people get hung up on, did I say the right things? Did I say this? Did I say that? And can I say when this thief at Calvary got saved, he prayed a rather simple prayer and just simply, Lord, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Now, I doubt anybody prayed that same exact prayer by that formula when you got saved. And yet, if you called on God, you're saved all the same. See, it ain't in the Word, so with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Amen. I'm glad God looks beyond what we say and the formula that we say it in, and He sees the heart. I just felt like maybe somebody would need to hear that. Amen. Today, I doubt there's one child of God when you as a sinner prayed that prayer. Amen. To get saved, but you're saved today, and we thank God for it. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. And it was about the sixth hour, and there was a darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour, and the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. Now when the centurion saw what was done, he glorified God, saying, certainly this was a righteous man. And all the people that came together to that sight, beholding the things which were done, smote their breasts and returned. And all his acquaintance and the women that followed him from Galilee stood afar off. And this is what we want to do this morning, 2,000 years later from the pages of Holy Writ, beholding these things. Would you let your mind by faith today gaze upon the cross upon which Jesus died? Believe if we'll behold these things, the Lord will help us see, amen, why Christ died. You can be seated, Heavenly Father, this morning. In the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Holy Ghost, we do pray today. Lord, we know today in ourselves dwelleth no good thing. Lord, we don't come today claiming or clinging to any work or merit-mongering, Lord, of our life. Lord, we know if we, Lord, stood before you outside of being clothed in the righteousness of Christ, and Lord, we'd be banished and banished throughout all eternity. But Father, we come this morning thankful, Lord, for the Lord Jesus and all that He done. And Lord, we claim the work that He did for us at the cross and what we claimed near 25 years ago. Lord, for our justification and our salvation. And Lord, I pray this morning now that You'd help us as we try to preach. Lord, we know that in ourself, Lord, we've no ability and no worth, Lord, to stand here. Lord, before sinners and saints alike, Lord, we understand today. And Lord, if anything's going to be said that would encourage the heart of the saint of God, and would charge, Lord, any human being with any kind of truth, and Lord, we'll need the authority of the Holy Ghost and His unctioning power to be upon us. Lord, I pray this morning especially for those that entered in lost and undone. Oh, dear God, may the Holy Ghost be able to take the words that we preach and the Word of God that we read and expound upon today. And Lord, do a great, great work in sinners' hearts and in sinners' lives. Lord, I pray they'd see themselves for who they are. And Lord, would You open up their eyes and let them see Jesus dying for their sin. And Lord, paying the debt that they could never pay. And Lord, all that You do for us, we'll bless You and we'll thank You for it. In Jesus' name again we pray. Amen and amen. Our attention here is centered upon again the reading of the text here that Luke gives us of the death of the Lord Jesus as He went to the place, according to verse 33, and they were come to the place which is called Calvary, and they didn't bring Him there, my friend, to crown Him as a king. They didn't bring Him there to commend Him for the great deeds that He had done or to acknowledge Him for who that He was. The Bible said, Brother Mo, there they crucified Him. It's one that had lived among them, walked among them, ate with them, and healed their sick and raised their dead. This one that had befriended so many has now been brought in the hour of His trial to this place of His crucifixion. Has been brought to this very hour, Jesus would say, as we studied on last week, it was for this very hour that Christ has come into this world. He didn't come, my friend, just to do good things, though He did. He didn't come to perform miracles and make people feel good, but He did. My friend, He came as Lord and His King, but He came to be a Savior, and He came to be a sacrifice. And He came to lay down His life on those two wooden beams, known as the old rugged cross on Golgotha's hill. We understand in the verses that we've read, when they crucified Him, and they literally beat the Lord Jesus Christ to a bloody pulp. Isaiah would prophesy of this scene that we've read today. And when they would get done with the Lord Jesus Christ, His very visage, His very image as a human being would be so marred. And Isaiah said those that would behold Him would not even be able to tell that He was even a man. And He was but a bloody sacrifice, a bloody piece of meat. And my friend had been stripped bare and abused and smitten and spat upon. A man, a Savior, the God-man that had been scorned and ridiculed and mocked. And my friend endured all that the cross demanded and despised all the shame that He received. I can see as they mock Him, I don't do well with mockery. I don't do well with people scorning me yet. Hey man, I don't like folk making fun of me, and if you got a brain in your head, you don't either. And they something when that is done, it rises up in a man. Then he wants to, my friend, retaliate. And yet, the Lord Jesus Christ, according to Isaiah 53, a man was led there that day as a lamb before the slaughter, and as a sheep before shears is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. And the only thing that Christ would say that we read would be seven sayings from the cross that day, none of which cried out for vengeance, none of which were statements of revenge and justification. But rather with mercy and with grace, Christ said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Amen. I see Christ dying in my mind, beholding these things, these thousands of years later, and the question would arise, why did Christ die? Why would Christ go through such great agony? Why would He allow them to whip His back and plow Him up as though, my friend, there were furrows up and down His back? Why would Christ allow them and endure the crown of thorns that pierced His brow? And why would He allow the spittle to roll off of His cheek and be smote in the cheek and upon the head with a reed, and be crowned and mocked and pierced with nails, and my friend lifted between heaven and earth on a cross? Why did Christ die, and why did He die the death that He did? And I think that needs answered in this day in which we live. A lot of people wear some sort of crucifix around their neck as a religious symbol. There are others that, my friend, maybe hang a cross up on the wall of their house or off their rearview mirror of their vehicle, and yet never give any thought to the death and the reasons and the why that Christ died. And so we're trying to answer that in as simple terms as we can. We understand that in the scene of the cross there, there is so much, and after 25 years of being saved and much of my study being centered around the cross and reading it and meditating upon it, I would have to tell you today that it's an inexhaustible question that we're trying to answer. If we had 1,000 lifetimes to preach and proclaim it, amen, with every message we preach, we'd still, amen, never reach the depths to answer the question of why that Christ died. And yet the Lord's laid on my heart at least three things that I want to preach through it. And we gave you the first one on last week, that Christ died to spoil the deeds of the devil. He died to spoil the deeds of the devil. And we understand that Eve was deceived, and being deceived gave the fruit to her husband Adam. And yet Adam was not in deception, that Adam, being in the transgression, plunged himself and all his seed and all his sons and daughters after him.
have been made sinners because of the choice that Adam made. And we want to be careful. We're not necessarily blaming the devil today. But the devil way back yonder in the Garden of Eden laid his claim upon the seed of Adam. And my friend being the subtle one, and he being the deceiver and the adversary of God and the adversary of mankind. Amen. On that day, he shackled himself to, amen, the souls of the sons of Adam and the seed of his race. And we understand that my friend, having laid his claim, that my friend had was his goal to carry mankind to condemnation and my friend to lead us as far away from God as he could. And what a job the devil had done. And what a job, by the way, the devil's doing even in our generation. But Jesus said in his earthly life, amen, in speaking of his own self, that his hour had come. And as a corn of wheat would fall in the ground, and my friend spring forth unto life, amen, and bring forth much fruit. This he spake, he said of the death by which he would die. He testified that the prince of the world is coming. And for this hour there was getting ready to be a showdown. Amen, he spake, and we won't read it all this morning again, but in John 12:30-32, and John 14:30, and in John 16:11, amen, Christ spake, and my friend, the prince of this world, having a showdown with the prince of glory. And all that was meant there at the cross, in which Paul would write in Hebrews 2. Amen, that in that scene of the crucifixion and the death by which Christ died in the cross, amen, that Christ defeated that great adversary. Amen, he that had the power of death was defeated. And Paul said plainly, that being the devil. Amen, Paul would write about it in Colossians in chapter number 2. And in the scene of the crucifixion, Christ dying for our sin, that, amen, he, my friend, triumphed over principalities and over powers and did so openly. And my friend, at the scene of Calvary, there was more than a human mob that was at work that day. There were more than Sadducees and Pharisees. And my friend, I believe the devil with all the forces of hell had gathered round to put the Son of God to death that day at Calvary. I believe with all my heart. Amen. It's really the only way you can explain why this same mob that my friends tried to crucify him, amen, just a few days before was glorified. This same man, they had been whipped into a spiritual frenzy. Amen, a dark spiritual frenzy. And my friend demanded the execution of this righteous man. But my friend, it's by way of the death that he died and the cross upon which he died, amen, that he spoiled the deeds of the devil. And so now the devil is no longer our father, as Christ taught in his earthly ministry when he spake to those of his generation, and can be said of those in this generation, amen, ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. Amen, you know why mankind are plunged into the depths of sin today. It's because the deeds of the devil, they, my friend, are shackled to their spiritual father, and he leads them astray into darkness and depravity. And my friend, oh, how the world needs to understand that Christ died, my friend, as a means to spoil the deeds of the devil in our life. Amen. It don't mean we'll be perfect. Praise God, it means we don't belong to who we used to belong to. And power, no, amen, sin no longer has dominion over us. Amen, the deeds of the devil have been spoiled because of the death he died. Amen, let me give you number two quickly this morning. If you're taking notes, write it down this way. That he died to spoil the deeds of the devil. But number two, he died that he might settle the debt of the sinner. Amen. He died that he might settle the debt of the sinner. Now you say, preacher, what do you mean? Well, I see this indicated here in the text that we wrote as these two malefactors that are being crucified on either side of Christ. The one begins to rail upon Christ, saying, if thou be Christ, save thyself and us. And the other, hath he, a man witnessed for several hours the death that Christ is dying. Amen. In these last hours in the cross, answer says, his friend did. Amen. His compadre in rebellion. Amen. Saying, dost not thou fear God, saying, thou art in the same condemnation. Notice what he said in verse 41. And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss. And so, Brother Gerald, there is the understanding in this sinner man at the death in Christ is dying that at Christ is absolutely guiltless and he is sinless and he is faultless. And yet these men are dying for their sin, that they are paying the debt that they owe to society because of the crimes and the lives of sin that they have lived in. Now, real quickly this morning, let me run you through the scripture through about three or four different texts today, and we'll make some statements and be done. Amen. Does the sinner have a debt? Amen. Let me say this morning, Romans chapter number 6 and verse number 23 says plainly, at the wages of sin is death. Amen. You may listen, you can weigh your sin out and you can measure it. Some sinner maybe it seems to be in greater sin than yourself. And it doesn't matter, my friend, it doesn't matter that, amen, you would measure yourself to be amen, less of a sinner than anybody else. The fact of the matter is the wages of sin is death. Always has been and always will be. Amen. Nobody gets by with sin. Amen. Sin is never winked out and sin is never overlooked. God, my friend, amen, looks upon sin with indignation. And my friend, there is a debt that mankind owes because of their sin, and the wages of sin is death. That you say, preacher, I don't deserve that. Amen, you deserve what all of us deserve. Amen, the wages of sin is death. Amen, that's always the result of sin. Amen, that's why we're living in a society and a generation that spiritually is dying today. Because mankind is so steeped in sin. That's why churches are dying today. Because they're steeped in sin. And my friend, the word of God is clear and is plain. Amen. That God hates sin. And sin, my friend, makes God sick. And sin brings man into the condemnation of God. And the wages of sin is death. That's true in my life. And it's true in your life. The wages of sin is death. Amen. Wages, speaking of faith, that there is a payment that is owed, that there is something that the sinner is going to pay for one day. And I say, if you're here this morning, would you listen to this preacher? And my friend, listen. Amen. You're running up a tally. Amen. You're running up a debt. Amen. There are some folk, we're seeing it in our generation. I don't want to get too political this morning. Amen. Most folk have no clue, amen, what it means for our country being $32 million worth of debt. You can't even fathom what that is. Amen. You can't tax folk enough to pay that back. It's done been rung up, buddy, and I ain't trying to be political. Amen. But China and the rest of the world's going to own our country. Amen. Because we run up a debt we cannot pay. worse than what America's run up, amen, is the debt that sinners have, amen, rung up before a holy God. You say, I can't believe these politicians running up a debt in our country, and we get mad and upset about that. But if you've never been born again, can I say, amen, there's a greater debt that you'll never be able to pay. And the only payment you lay down, amen, the only thing that you have coming your way, amen, that the Bible said, a wages of sin is death. Amen. That's why that criminal stand beside the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. He acknowledged it. He admitted what many will not admit today. That Christ did nothing amiss. That this man has done nothing wrong. And that, my friend, we indeed justly die for our sin. Amen. We're alienated from God and true religion because of our sin. Are you understanding today? Amen. We got a generation today that will not acknowledge, amen, what they are. And will not, my friend, let it pierce their heart. They try to justify themselves. They try to say, well, it ain't as bad as this or that. Amen. But it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. The wages of sin is death. The sinner owes a debt today. But the good news is Jesus died to settle that debt. Amen. Don't get too excited. I remember I had a debt I could not pay. I was spiritually bankrupt. Amen. I was so spiritually bankrupt, and you wouldn't have seen it from the outside. You wouldn't have, my friend, seen it and just gazing upon me. Amen. But at the age of 17, there's so much rebellion and pride and lusted, and, my friend, so much going on the inside of me that, my friend, oh, I had such a debt. Amen. I had such a debt I'll never forget when the Holy Ghost laid the weight of that debt on me. And I realized I was bankrupt and I couldn't pay it. I realized it. Amen. I believe what the Word of God had to say. Hey, Brother Ronnie, I was in debt, amen, up over my head, and hey, I'd never be able to pay it back. Amen. Oh, the condemnation and the weight. Amen. My daddy couldn't get it off of me, and my mama couldn't get it off of me yet, and my buddies couldn't lift it. I was in such debt. Praise God, I'm glad the Holy Ghost didn't leave me there. And He took me to an old rugged cross upon which I can say, yes, me and thee, Jesse, have been dead, and I'm dead, and I bust hell wide open for my sin. And He let me see Christ dying to settle that debt. And so what I and you could not pay, amen, the cross says Jesus paid it all. Amen. And what you and I had mounted up for so long, amen, Jesus went and bore it in His own bosom. He nailed it to His own cross, covered it in His own blood, and cast it behind His back as far as the east is from the west. I'm glad, thank God, this morning that Christ died to settle my debt. Amen, amen. How foolish would it be? We'll go back to the analogy we gave. How foolish would it be that, my friend, all that our country owes and our government owes to those around the world, amen, if they just sent out and said, we're going to forgive your debt. We're going to settle it all up. You don't owe us anything. And amen, and I wouldn't put it past some of our stupid politicians. Amen. To say, no, thank you. We're fine the way we are. Amen. Amen. And I'm going to tell you something. Amen. We would go, what are you thinking? What are you thinking? How foolish can you be? They're offering a way out of debt. They're offering a settling of the accounts. They're offering to bring the balance back to zero. Amen. Why in the world wouldn't you let them settle the debt? Yet there are sinners, amen, frequent this place. There are sinners we witness to, amen, in our community that we tell them you have a debt. Christ died to settle the debt. And they live their life basically saying, no, thank you. No, thank you. I work on paying it all out myself. Amen. I want to say today, amen, why in the world would any sinner, amen, not acknowledge and bow their knee, amen, and bow their heart and their will, amen, in repentance and faith and say, yes, I received the saddling of my debt of sin. Did Christ settle the debt? We had a debt. Did Christ settle the debt that we owed? Let me give you a few verses this morning. Amen. Look with me in 2 Corinthians 5:18. Look there. I know you could quote it. Amen. But let's look at it. 2 Corinthians 5. And in verse number 18. If you're with me, say amen now. Amen. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Amen. Keep that verse in mind and flip over a few more pages of the book of Ephesians, chapter number 2. Ephesians 2 and in verse number 15. Let's read a few of these verses here. Here the Bible said, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself in twain one new man, so making peace. Don't miss it now, verse 16. And that he may reconcile both unto God in one body by what? The cross. By what? The cross. Amen. He did it by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off and to them that were nigh. Amen. Paul is pretty clear in both these texts. Amen. He uses a word we want to emphasize for a moment. Amen. It's the word reconcile. Now, reconcile has several different meanings and applications. One means that, amen, you take two that are at odds with each other and you bring them together and you make peace. You say, amen, they have been reconciled. That's one way, and we preach it that way. But the word reconcile, amen, it not only has a term and a picture of bringing opposing sides together and putting them on friendly terms, amen, but it also has a financial application. Amen. In the business realm and even in your weekly or monthly finances, amen, you sit down and you reconcile the books. Amen. That is, you look at how much was brought in, and you look at how much went out, and you reconcile those two things together to see, amen, if you're in the red or you're in the black. Amen. And it's a financial term where one is sitting down and accounting, amen, accounting financially what is owed. Amen. Hallelujah. What did God do? He sent the Lord Jesus Christ, amen, all the way from heaven, amen, down through a virgin womb into this earth, amen, to go to an old rugged cross. And the Bible is clear. And it was by the cross that God, amen, was reconciling, amen, himself, amen, and the debt that mankind owed. Amen. Can I say it again? We had a debt. that we would never have been able to pay. Amen. The wages of our sin, the wages of our straying was going to be death and be condemnation in hell forever. And what did God do? He sent His Son, amen, to the cross to die, amen, for that sin and to make a reconciliatory payment that would be more than sufficient than the debt we had rung up. Amen. 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 Is mankind in debt? You better believe it. He has a great debt. It's a heavy debt. Many sinners, sad to say, don't even understand how indebted they are. But praise God, Christ died that He might reconcile, my friend, that debt. Amen. And settle it all. And again, I say, at what Christ did when He died, the payment that He made, it was more than sufficient. Amen. I believe I could say today that Brother Tim, he did more than bring the balance to zero. Amen. He took it beyond just settling it at zero. Amen. He paid all that we owed, and the debt that He died was sufficient. Amen. For even the sins we would commit after that we had been saved. Amen. I'm glad this morning to be able to report to you that Christ died to settle the debt of the sinner. Amen. Now what is it that He gave when He died that would be so sufficient? Amen. Can I say He gave none other than His own sinless, spotless, saving, sovereign blood? It is the blood that He gave when He died that settled the debt. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm glad this morning that He gave His blood. You say, preacher, have you got a verse for that? Are y'all still in Ephesians 2? Amen. Flip over to the right. Amen. Just a few pages, the book of Colossians. In Colossians chapter number 1, and I'll be done. In Colossians chapter number 1, and notice with me in verse number 19. For it pleased the Father that in Him should all fullness dwell. Now don't miss it in verse 20. And having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself. By Him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. Amen. You know what the Lord did when He died? Amen. You know why Christ died? Amen. He died that He might reach way up yonder there in heaven and reach all the way down to where you and I were in earth. Amen. Friend, knowing the debt that was between us, knowing the debt that we owed heavenward, that we would never be able to pay. Amen. Christ poured out His blood. He didn't spill it, praise God. It was no accident. Amen. He poured it out that day as the reconciliatory payment of the debt of sin that we owe. Now the debt is settled. Ain't that good? The only way a sinner can be saved is not by coming to church. It's not by carrying a Bible. It's not even by reading the Bible and praying. The only way a sinner can be saved, Riley, is by bowing on their knee. Amen. You say, I can't bow on my knees. Amen. Well, amen, bow in the knee of your will. Saying, I'm done trying to do good. I'm done trying to make myself justified before God. And behold what Jesus did at Calvary, and acknowledge and confess. Amen to God, amen, and then to man, that I am putting my trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and what He did to settle my debt. Is that right? Amen. Let me give you an illustration and I'm done. Amen. That ain't bad 35 minutes of preaching, is it? Amen. Watch this now. Y'all remember the blood that was applied in the land of Egypt that set men free. Y'all remember that? The Passover lamb? They was in bondage. Buddy, Egypt had done made it hard on them. You remember they took that lamb, Brother Jerry. They brought it to the door of their house. And they would slit the throat of that lamb and bleed that lamb out. Amen. There were two places the Lord said you need to apply that blood. There's actually three places that blood would be found. Y'all remember? Y'all don't look at me. Y'all remember the story, don't you? Don't make me get Riley up here to sing, "Is the blood still there?" and remind you. Amen. One dark night in Egypt, a fearful time had come. The Lord said, you take that lamb and you take him to the door of your house. You watch that lamb and you keep him up for 7 days. Make sure it's a worthy sacrifice. And the only way you're getting out of Egypt is you're going to kill that lamb. You're going to bleed that lamb out. You're going to slaughter it right there at your door. Take the blood of that lamb. What did he say? He said, you apply it to the top post and the side post. Let me preach on them two for a minute. Amen. Why the top post? Because that speaks, amen, that speaks of the fact that the blood reconciled them, amen, and was applied between them and heaven and them and God. Can I say, as a sinner today, you need to trust the blood of Jesus Christ to be applied to the top post of your life. Amen. Because until God sees the blood, all He sees is a sinner that is going to hell, a sinner that He is angry with, a sinner that He will judge one day. The blood's got to be applied to the top post. Anybody here this morning, you can say, I'm glad everything's right between me and God. The blood has been applied. Amen. Hallelujah. Then the blood was applied to the side post. That speaks to the fact that the blood was between them and the world. Amen. They're still in Egypt. Thank God, between them and the world is the blood of the Lamb. Amen. Thank God He was sanctifying them. Amen. The Lord, I don't know that they realize this, but the Lord was sanctifying them. Amen. Out from Egypt to be the people of God. I'm glad at 25 years ago when I got saved. Amen. Listen, the blood has been applied to the side post of my life. I'm in the world, but I ain't of the world anymore. Amen. Between me and the world is the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. It just, amen. Can I say, amen? I'm not saying every now and then I don't peek out the door. Amen. And you do too. But, amen. Can I say that since the blood has been applied to the side post, if some world don't have near the glit and the glam, that, amen, the glamour and the, amen, all the lore that it once had because the blood has been applied to my life. Blood, the top post. Amen. It deals with my relationship to God. The blood on the side post speaks it. Amen. There's a sanctification, a setting apart by the blood. Amen. From the world around me. But that lamb was slain at the door. Right? Amen. I was instructed in this some time ago. And I've just been meditating on it. They say that in those days that them Jews would build troughs around their house and especially in front of their door. When they're slaying that lamb, that blood is not only applied to the top post and the side post, but it's going to make its way to the very threshold of that door. So what's that speak of? That speaks that the blood is not only between us and God and between us and the world, but between us and hell.
Yep, amen. Amen.
Yep. Amen. You see, the debt's been paid everywhere I look. The debt's been saved.
Yeah.
Oh man, if I had strength, I'd run 10 laps around this place. I think I could make it one. Amen. Can I say everywhere I look today? Amen. I looked at Calvary this morning. Amen. I looked back 25 years ago when I really saw it and I really beheld it for the first time. And it sparked faith in my life and it led me to repentance for that help. And I think about what John said that, and he loved us and he gave himself for us, but then he washed us in his own blood. And God, I'm glad I looked up to God and everything's all right. Amen. I through this world in which we live. Amen. I look around and this world's in chaos. This world, buddy, this world's going to hell in a handbasket. Amen. I mean, they're going there as quick as they can. Buddy, I'm glad when I look around. Amen. I see the blood of the Lord Jesus and everything's all right. Every now and then, oh hell, a whisper. Amen. You ain't going to win. Victory ain't yours yet. Amen. But I'm glad there's blood. Amen. Between me and hell today, it says, thank God. Amen. Christ paid all the debt. Amen. Praise God. Between you and God and you and the world and you and the gates of hell is the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Buddy, we ought to be running laps. We ought to, amen, we ought to run home this afternoon and run back on that thought. Christ, when He died, settled our debt of sin. You had a debt. Child of God, you had a debt you couldn't pay. Don't you ever forget, you ain't saved. I don't care how long you saved and how good your life is lived. You're not saved today by any. And I know I keep coming back, and Brother Tim just sparked it in my heart months ago. Amen, and I'm hung up on it, but amen, we ain't merit mongers. True, born again children of God are not merit mongers. We did not merit anything from God. It was everything Christ did for you and I. Thank God all we did, the Holy Ghost let us see it by faith. The Holy Ghost turned our heart to it. And we believed on it. Brother Sam, thank God we're saved today. Amen. The debt is no longer mine to pay. It's already been paid. He paid enough not just to pay mine and yours. Amen. Listen, He paid so much when He died. Here's the way John the Beloved worded it, and I'm done. He said, He is the propitiation, speaking of Christ, 1 John chapter 2. You can read it for yourself when you get home. Amen. He is the propitiation for our sins. Writing to believers, He's the propitiation for our sins. But He didn't stop there, Brother Larry. He said, and not for ours only, but for the sin of the whole world. Glory to God. Limited atonement, my hind leg. Amen. There ain't no limited atonement. Amen. Any sinner, mad friend that'll understand that Christ paid what they could not pay. And they ever come to the end of themselves and mad friend lose their pride and bow themselves. Amen. To the Lord God of glory. Amen. They can be saved because Jesus paid their debt. He paid it all. You leave here saved today. Amen. All you got to do is come to it. All you got to do is come. Let's stand together. I'm done. I've got one more. I'll give you in two Sunday mornings from now. Amen. Who knows? Maybe next Sunday morning. I don't think so. But we're just looking at why Christ died. Amen. Child of God, you may need to come get on this altar and just say, Lord, thank you. Thank you for reminding me of the debt I rung up. You know, sometimes, can I say this? I'm done now, but sometimes you'll be debt-free and you'll forget what it felt like, amen, to be under that bondage. Amen. Amen. I know we got to quit. I feel like we honed in here. Amen. My old pickup truck, it's got 308,000 miles on it. It's been giving me a little trouble here and there. And I get thinking every now and then, Brother Bob, I get thinking, I'm going to go buy me a new truck. I'm going to go buy me a new truck. Don't feel sorry for me. It's got 308,000 miles on it. And it's a Ford. And about the time I go thinking about that, Brother Mo, there's something on the inside that jumps up and with a 2x4 smacks me upside the head. You say, what is that? I get thinking I need a new truck, and then all of a sudden, my old heart will say, you remember back there when you owed on that truck? And you hated Ford, and you hated Nationwide, and you hated yourself. Amen. And you hated everybody that time of the month you had to make that payment out. You know what that is? Amen. There's times I get forgetting what it was like to be indebted for that thing. And then something on the inside has to remind me, you don't want to bear that. Amen. And so you say, what are you going to do? I'm going to drive that thing to 500,000 miles if a good Lord will help me. Amen. If you see Brother Ledbetter in a new pickup truck, you'll know he done lost his mind this week. Can I say today to every child of God, don't forget the debt the Lord Jesus paid off in your life. Amen. Don't forget it. Because when you forget it, you'll go ringing up some more debts out there that you'll regret. You'll have to pay for even though you saved. Say amen right there. A lot of things I could preach. You ought to be grateful for what Jesus did. And if you've never been saved, I encourage you today, look to Calvary and behold, Christ died to settle the debt of the sinner. Let's bow our heads in prayer. She's playing.